former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, testified publicly before the House Intelligence Committee today as part of the impeachment inquiry. Here's a moment from Yovanovitch's opening testimony.
Perhaps it was not surprising that when our anti-corruption efforts got in the way of a desire for profit or power, Ukrainians who preferred to play by the old corrupt rules sought to remove me. What continues to amaze me is that they found Americans willing to partner with them, and working together, they apparently succeeded in orchestrating the removal of a U.S. ambassador. How could our system fail like this? How is it that foreign corrupt interests could manipulate our government? Which country's interests are served when the very corrupt behavior we have been criticizing is allowed to prevail?
Yovanovitch served as a member of the U.S. Foreign Service for 33 years and is still a member of that Foreign Service. She was the ambassador to Ukraine before being abruptly recalled by President Trump in May. She was mentioned by Trump in the phone call between him and the newly elected Ukrainian president. That phone call served as part of the basis for the whistleblower complaint that led to this impeachment inquiry. Our next guest has been covering the testimony and joins us now. Scott Wong is a senior staff writer for The Hill covering House leadership. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
What were the biggest takeaways from today, the second day of public testimony in this impeachment inquiry?
Well, I think one takeaway certainly was that Yovanovitch was a credible, sympathetic witness for Democrats. She appeared genuine. She recounted a little bit about her history of working for Republican and Democratic administrations going back all the way to Ronald Reagan. In various dangerous countries around the world. She talked about how, in some cases, she came under fire in some of these posts. And so she had credibility, and that was important for Democrats. She talked about how it was highly unusual for, for this conspiracy of Rudy Giuliani and Ukrainian government officials conspiring with folks in the United States to remove her as ambassador because they saw her as somebody who was standing in the way of their business and political interests. So it was gripping testimony, and obviously what was different, if people thought Wednesday's hearing lacked any drama, this one did not lack that drama because the president himself was watching it and tweeting attacks on Yovanovitch in real time, which was something to behold.
I wanted to bring that up. During the testimony, President Trump criticized Yovanovitch on Twitter. As you just mentioned, House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff then brought up the tweets more or less in real time. Here's Schiff's exchange with Yovanovitch quoting President Trump's tweet.
Everywhere Marie Yovanovitch went turned bad. She started off in Somalia. How did that go? He goes on to say later in the tweet, is a U.S. president's absolute right to appoint ambassadors? First of all, Ambassador Yovanovitch, the Senate has a chance to confirm or deny an ambassador, do they not?
Yes, advise and consent.
But would you like to respond to the president's attack that everywhere you went turned bad?
Well, I don't think I have such powers, not in Mogadishu, Somalia, not in other places. I actually think that where I've served over the years, I and others have demonstrably made things better, for the U.S. as well as for the countries that I've served in.
As Schiff said, the president's attacks amounted to witness intimidation. What's been some of the other response to that, Scott?
Well, that's exactly right. And Democrats, as they were exiting from the hearing and taking a break to run to votes, members of the Intelligence Committee, specifically the Democrats, were saying this was a blatant example of witness intimidation. People like Eric Swalwell and Jackie Speier, who participated in the questioning today, said it is possible that this episode of the president tweeting attacks on Yovanovitch as she is testifying before Congress under oath, that that could be perceived as witness intimidation, that could be included in the articles of impeachment under one of them, which would be obstruction of justice. And so, you know, it was a dramatic moment. We've obviously never been in this environment, this media environment before, where the president can respond to the witness who is testifying in the president's impeachment investigation in real time on Twitter. So it was a dramatic moment and shocked a lot of people on Capitol Hill.
Talking to Scott Wong from The Hill about the latest in the impeachment inquiry, the public side of that inquiry that started this week. I want to give a listen now to Ranking Member Devin Nunes, a Republican from California, very critical of the whole process. Here he is in an exchange with Yovanovitch today.
Were you involved in the deliberations about the pause in military sales to Ukraine as the Trump administration reviewed newly elected President Zelensky's commitment to corruption reforms?
For the delay in...
For the pause.
The pause? No, I was not.
Were you involved in the proposed Trump-Zelensky, later Pence-Zelensky meetings in Warsaw, Poland on September 1st?
No, I was not.
Did you ever talk to President Trump in 2019?
No, I have not.
Mick Mulvaney?
No, I have not.
Thank you, Ambassador. I'm not exactly sure what the ambassador is doing here today. This is the House Intelligence Committee that's now turned into the House Impeachment Committee. This seems more appropriate for the Subcommittee on Human Resources at the Foreign Affairs Committee. If there's issues with employment disagreements with the administration, it would seem like this would be a more appropriate setting instead of an impeachment hearing where the ambassador is not a material fact witness to anything, any of the accusations that are being hurled at the president for this impeachment inquiry.
Scott, was this a running theme for Republican critics of the process that this is not a direct witness to the pieces of the accusations against the president?
That's exactly right. And that seems to be more and more the central argument for Republicans, that people like Yovanovitch and also the witnesses who came before Congress on Wednesday, Bill Taylor and George Kent, are not firsthand witnesses of the president's reasons for withholding aid to Ukraine, that $400 million that we've been talking about. And so whereas before, much of the Republican arguments had been around process and their gripes with how the process was going because it was being run by the Democrats, it seems like Republicans are now starting to rally behind this central argument, which is that we haven't heard from any of the firsthand witnesses who would have been in direct communication with President Trump as to why he was withholding that aid and whether it had anything to do with investigations he wanted into the Bidens. Now, I will say that at the very moment as the hearing was wrapping up, there was another witness, David Holmes, who is an aide to Bill Taylor, the acting ambassador to Ukraine, who arrived on Capitol Hill and stepped into the SCIF, the secret closed-door hearing rooms for the Intelligence Committee. And he is somebody who apparently overheard a phone call with President Trump and his ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland. So he is, Democrats are saying, a firsthand witness, and he is now at the moment giving testimony behind closed doors to Democrats and Republicans.
And there's been also criticism that the fact that the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine wasn't in the loop on a decision of whether to provide military aid to Ukraine might be a symptom of the problems that the former ambassador was pointing out there.
Sorry, could you repeat that again?
Democrats have been saying the fact that the ambassador to Ukraine wasn't a firsthand witness to decisions made about Ukraine is part of the wider problem.
Yeah, I mean, for Democrats, the reason why they think that Yovanovitch is such an important witness is they believe that she is, she was pushed out of the way, they believe, by President Trump and Rudy Giuliani and others because that Republicans and Trump saw her as standing in the way of getting some of these politically motivated investigations into the Bidens and into these unsubstantiated claims that it was Ukraine rather than Russia that had been doing the interfering in the 2016 election. And so the Democrats' challenge, of course, is to try to tie this all together, tie Yovanovitch's ouster with, with the military aid and with these politically motivated investigations that Taylor and George Kent talked about on Wednesday. And of course, we have a series of other hearings that will be happening next week. This is just one week of public hearings, and there will be at least one more before Thanksgiving.
And before we wrap up, another piece of news today. Roger Stone, President Trump's former aide and friend, found guilty on 7 counts related to obstructing a congressional investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. What do we know about these charges?
Well, this was related to the previous Mueller-Russia investigation. And, I don't have all the details, but as you mentioned, there was obstruction of justice. There was lying to Congress while under oath. And also the third one, which was fascinating because of the timing of it, which was witness tampering. It came on the day, obviously, that Democrats were accusing the president of tampering with the witness, Ms. Yovanovitch. And so this is yet another person that was in President Trump's orbit that has been convicted on charges and will be heading to prison in terms of being part of the Russia investigation. It is interesting that these two investigations are still moving on sort of a parallel track, that we're seeing arrests and convictions in the Mueller investigation as the Ukraine investigation is just getting going.
Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Scott Wong, senior staff writer for The Hill, covering House leadership. You join us with the latest news from the public impeachment hearings.